Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Jeff Ellis.
I'm Stephen Miranda. Today's Monday, September 12th, 2011.
Welcome to episode number 716.
Yes, the week one recap show.
What a week.
Minus Monday Night Football.
Minus Monday Night Football. A couple games going on, so four teams will not be involved in this show.
Yeah, well, there's two games tonight, and we got to get to them.
That's why we got to get the show done now.
But first, we'll talk about some NFL news, some injuries, some players getting paid big time.
Some what the hell's going on out there?
And we'll talk about this weekend's games. All that coming up in a moment.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
Yes, sirree, Bobby. Week one is nearly in the books, but not quite completely in the books yet, because the doubleheader for Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots going down to Miami, and then the Oakland Raiders going out to Mile High.
Raider Nation!
And trust me, if I get the Raiders in the upset in Denver, Stephen, I'll be 9-7 this week.
What?
Let's give him a big hand clap, shall we? 9-7.
I don't want that, because if you don't get the Raiders and
right,
I get Denver,
right,
and I get New England, I'll be 8-8.
So wait, if you don't get the Denver, you will have a losing record for opening
yes.
weekend? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been one of those
it
weeks.
It has been a brutal.
What are you going to do?
Topsy-turvy.
We have.
Crazy week one. Look at my arms.
I see your arms. They're flailing.
As of independent from my whole body.
I wouldn't
look
go that
them.
Far.
Look
they look pretty attached,
do
actually.
They?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They look silly, but they look pretty attached.
I keep forgetting there's no video, so they don't see that.
Yeah, I've given up trying to keep Steven from talking to the camera. I suspect he gets up in the middle of the night and looks towards the camera.
I do.
During
whoa,
dreams.
Whoa, wait a minute.
There's
it's
no camera.
Off.
There's no camera.
It's off. All right, let's talk about some NFL news, Jeffrey. First off, right before week one kicks off, right after the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints play their Thursday night start of the season game, the league announces that Adrian Peterson has become the richest running back in the history of the National Football League. The Minnesota Vikings made Adrian Peterson another $100 million man, offering him a contract extension and guaranteeing $36.5 million.
Very, very nice. Congratulations to Adrian Peterson. Couldn't happen to a sweller fella out there. Certainly, he is the future. If there is a future in Minnesota,
yeah,
he's the guy.
He's probably silly right now, right?
Okay, right? Fine.
Don't be silly, Adrian Peterson.
If I'm him, I am silly. I may not be real excited about how the outcome of my game went
this
week.
Yeah, he didn't have the best performance. But we'll save that till we get to that game. The other man who got himself a nice fat paycheck, Troy Polamalu-Wallu-Wallu. Troy signing a four-year contract extension.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because.
Defense wins championships. Defense.
Well, their defense didn't win a whole lot this past
weekend. No, there wasn't a lot of defense being played this weekend. In fact, the art of tackling, Steven, seems to have gone by the wayside.
It has, but Polamalu, four-year contract extension deal worth $36.5 million with $10.55 guaranteed.
Nice.
So, congratulations to both those guys. As I said earlier, nice of you guys to sign them before week one, because had they seen week one, I'm not sure your team would have given you that kind of money.
Very nice. But
they still would have given them.
As I like to remind people, most clubs and most players don't want to have anything to do with contract talks once the season begins.
Yes.
They want the focus to be exclusively on football, and that's why these last-minute deals got done.
Then why are the Eagles waiting on DeSean Jackson?
That's a great question.
Because the brother showed yesterday against the Rams,
did.
I can play. I got game.
He does
over 100
game.
Yards. Touchdown catch.
You know, there was probably, and I'm just off the top of my head, Stephen, I think there was three running backs that got over 100 yards.
Something like that.
Starting Thursday night up till now. And will there be any tonight? Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is probably the best chance of getting to 100 yards.
How about Reggie Bush?
How about Reggie Bush? Reggie Bush is not going to get to 100 yards, but he may find the end zone a couple times.
I don't know. Reggie Bush is scheduled to get 20 to 25 carries tonight.
Yeah, and the chance of him busting off a long one, when he gets that many touches, it's been probably a senior year at USC since he got that many touches,
I'm looking
Steven.
Forward to him.
And, did he have a senior year at USC or was it a junior year?
No, it was his senior year.
Okay. He finished?
No.
I don't think he finished.
I don't know.
Probably his junior year, I'd suspect.
But I can't quite say with certainty.
So that's what's going on. We've got injuries up the wazoo.
Injury report.
This is a part of the show that we don't like giving, but this week's worse than most.
I am warning you, I'm seriously stressed out here.
I'm serious.
That's how some coaches are right now. They're seriously stressed out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what is it that made the Schwartz be – not Schwartz, but Rams head coach, Spags. Yeah. Schwartz's Spags. Those can be tricked up, and they both used to suck out loud, and they're starting to play better.
Spagnuolo's
so Spags,
got,
he says he was up all night praying, according to Peter King.
While Steven Jackson, obviously his running back, who started and looked fantastic.
He looked amazing.
Bruised quad.
Danny Amendola. The teams, and before people go again, seriously on the Danny Amendola, yeah, he led the team in receptions last year.
Dislocated left elbow, out 4 to 6 weeks. Now, they're saying that he doesn't need surgery and won't have to go on the IR, but still 4 to 6 weeks. And then Sam Bradford has nerve damage in his in his throwing hand.
It's this usually
he
when a
feel his fingers at
he
point.
He completed a pass, and on completing the pass his fingers went down on somebody else's hand, an opponent's hand, where usually you would see him hit the back of a helmet frequently on your center or somebody like that.
Well, the defender was trying to block the ball, and he just got there. The ball was released, but then instead of getting the ball, he
and on the follow-through,
the
fingertips go smack on the wrist.
When you're throwing with that velocity and you're coming forward and you hit anything, it's going to hurt you. So Bradford expected to maybe be ready this week.
He says he's gonna, but I think the coach has a little bit to say about
may
it.
Not play this week. Already, they're already saying he's doubtful. And obviously, Amendola's out 4 to 5 weeks. Yeah. Now, some players of note that are out for the season, Jeffrey, the Kansas City Chiefs, Eric Berry, their safety, their second-year safety, was rookie last year.
Yeah, they didn't need
torn
any safety
ACL.
Help yesterday.
Oh, they needed his help.
Oh, they did
me.
Need safety help.
Yes, they got torched by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Fitzpatrick experiment looking good in Buffalo. We'll get to that. John Beeson for the Carolina Panthers, torn Achilles tendon. And, you know, after, you know, hey, Cam Newton's coming out party, that was some very, very sour news there for the
and
Panthers.
And then Nate Gating also on the
on the first kick of the season for the kid.
Seriously. One of the most, basically, I think, the most accurate kicker in the NFL today.
Torn ACL, Nate Gating out for the season. Extended players with extended time that they're going to be missing. Wide receiver for the Houston Texans, Kevin Walters, left shoulder, out 10 to 12 weeks. And the defensive end for the Chargers, speaking of the Chargers,
Luis Castillo
has a leg injury, pending his MRI right now. He may miss the entire season as well.
And then these guys are day-to-day. Derek Ward of the Houston Texans,
running
back
ankle. Who, you know, started in place of Aaron Foster. After, you know, he did very well, he sprained his ankle. He's out day-to-day. And wide receiver Dez Bryant for the Dallas Cowboys. Turns out he wasn't just cramping.
He was cramping.
No, that's what
he
I
was to cramping,
say.
But
the bruised quad is what kind of kept
the bigger
him
issue.
From,
but Stephen, there's two parts of his leg that he was hurting in.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that was what I read at lunchtime today. Okay. Was that there was a serious injury to the quad with the bruise,
right.
And he was cramping. So it's like, seriously,
not good there. So sorry for all. You know, it's like. Normally, week one, you have a ton of injuries, and this week one was no exception. Jeff, we've got to get to them. We got 14 games to talk about. We'll start with Thursday Night Football, where the Green Bay Packers hosted the New Orleans Saints.
And all I got to say to everybody who's overseas is we're really sorry that the absolute best games seem to happen in the middle of the night while you're all asleep.
Hey, you know what? I got a cure for that.
Yeah?
I got a cure for that.
The universal clock? The universal clock, Steven. Tell me it's true. Tell me it's true. There's one time everywhere in the world that people just get up at weird hours and things.
No, you must be talking about like the Centurion time from, you know, Men in Black and stuff.
Okay. I saw that once.
No, no. This is for our friends overseas. The idea is that you sleep during the day and you get a job where you work from like 2 to 11, and then you're up in the middle of the night to catch these great games.
So take tolls on the Massachusetts Turnpike in the middle of the night.
Take tolls?
Yeah, it's a toll road, the Massachusetts Turnpike.
Okay.
And they could do that. They could take tolls there during the night so they could be awake, or during the day so they could be
awake.
I'm
not following you. No,
I'm just coming up with an idea.
I'm coming up with jobs
that they could do that might help them.
But they're overseas.
Oh.
So they couldn't come over and take tolls at the Massachusetts Turnpike.
That's true.
I'm sure there's jobs overseas where they could work from.
But basically, toll taking is a good one. that we really recommend as a future.
You know what? A good job that they can do? Pizza delivery guy.
Pizza deliveries? Yeah. Because you know what? Through tips alone, you could make nearly a living wage.
Nearly.
Well, I mean, if you lived in like rural Alabama.
All this is whatever you choose to do. Just make sure you're awake during the night. Then you could sleep from like when what time is the game over? Like 4 o'clock in the morning?
About 4 o'clock
so
in the morning.
So from 4 in the morning, you sleep from 4 in the morning till noon.
There you go.
And then you wake up, and then you go to work at 1 o'clock.
You know what that's called?
What?
Being a college student.
Oh, there you go.
Stay in college for the rest of your life, people, and you can enjoy the NFL just fine. Because what we had was the New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers, the two past previous? That's redundantly redundant.
The two past previous that used to be a couple years ago together.
They were just
Super
a few
Bowl
years
champions.
Ago.
There
yes.
you go.
Super Bowl champions of the last 2 years, the Saints and the Packers met at hallowed grounds of Lambeau Field.
Are they hallowed?
I think they are.
Someone, like,
you and I have been there. No, not hollow. Hallowed.
Oh, I heard hallowed grounds.
No.
Like, I did not remember seeing the stadium was a big, giant hole.
Although, when you walk in at street level, you do go down to your seats.
You do.
So it is below the street level.
Is it?
I seem to recall that we walked downstairs.
Yeah, we did walk down.
What a great stadium.
It is good.
Boom, boom. Go, Pack, go. Boom,
boom, boom. Is that what you remember?
Yeah. Well, I just remember being late, Stephen.
I remember.
I hated it. That everyone was in the know except me.
Everyone not actually angry.
Oh, no.
But they weren't very happy that I was wearing a Brett Favre jersey.
Well, that was the least of it,
Stephen.
The first thing was, I've never seen anybody that looks like this.
Well,
that was the first thing.
I did get some of that. Yes.
But they were the nicest people in
the
world. But they just looked at Stephen, like, did a triple take, like,
where are you from, honey?
What planet did you come from?
Don't worry about it. You'll never guess in a million years. Anyways, 42-34.
Oh,
this game was fantastic. Sean Payton decides late after Drew Brees, in 1:08, no timeouts, leads the Saints all the way to the 1 yard line after a AJ Hawk pass interference call of Darren Sproles in the end zone. Gets them to the one. There's an untimed down. And how did Sean Payton decide to play that out? He decided to give it to his rookie running back, Mark Ingram, when the entire Green Bay defense and half their fans, half of their staff, and half of the front office for the New Orleans Saints were all stacked right there in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Everybody and their dog was stacked right there in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm still going to give it to my rookie running back.
I think there was a couple cheerleaders that had snuck in there too, Stephen, frankly.
They don't have cheerleaders in Green Bay.
Yes, they do.
No, they do not.
You don't remember them because they weren't a lot to look at, Stephen.
No, Jeffrey, they were not cheerleaders.
What are they called?
They are high school Yell Girls.
Oh, they're Yell Girls.
Yes,
okay,
from the local high schools.
Would they not be the equivalent of a cheerleader?
From the local high schools.
Most is this an NFL team? Yes.
Employ cheerleaders. Like,
this
is
Green Bay, though.
Cheerleaders.
This is Green Bay. Nobody's getting paid to do jack around there except for the players.
They go and ask some of the girls from the high school that like to yell to come out and yell.
Okay.
So, yeah. If that's what you want to call cheerleaders, go ahead. I'm not calling them cheerleaders.
The girls that were down there on the field looked like they could play the line.
Okay.
And
That's not nice at all.
I'm just saying.
You don't even get an his offer.
I never get an his offer from you. You suck.
What do you mean?
The point of I'm just saying is something moronically stupid.
For a whole year, I asked you for, I'm just saying, and I never got it for you. And now you want me to give them to you?
I expect it.
I'll expect it.
I'm just saying.
When you're not being mean, you will get it.
When I'm not being mean, I don't need it. I say him when I say something really stupid or just really bizarre.
Okay, when you say something bizarre or stupid, I will give it to you. But when you're being mean, as in the point right now you were being mean, you're probably not going to get one from me.
They're big girls. I'm sure they could yell well. All right.
42-34, the Green Bay Packers serving notice. Hey, we are the defending Super Bowl champions. We ain't going nowhere.
Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers look fabulous. Drew Brees looked pretty good once he finally got into his rhythm. But it was a little too late, and let me tell you, it was a great game.
All right, the first Sunday morning game was quite the shocker!
Oops. What are you trying to get us to, baby?
Right there, the Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Baltimore to face the Baltimore Ravens. And Jeffrey, what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
What happened to our lock of the week? I feel like a moron.
Oh, you had to go there.
Yeah.
You had to go there.
I did.
We couldn't just wait till we got to...
We're not going
to
sweep it under the carpet.
No, I didn't want to sweep it under the carpet, but we couldn't at least wait till Wednesday when we did Kings of the Pool.
I don't know. I've got an excuse.
What?
We didn't have that extra day that most people have to prepare their picks.
No,
Nothing prepares you for the Spanish Inquisition or for the Steelers turning the ball over seven freaking times.
Seven turnovers, dog. Yes, Emma.
Come on.
Dying Pac-Man.
Come on.
That is correct. You did not hear us wrong.
The Ravens never beat the Steelers, first of all. And when they do, it's by three or four points, and that's all. And they never beat Ben Roethlisberger. And, oh, my gosh. This is a series that over the last 4 years had not been decided by more than 4 points. None of the games.
No, Roethlisberger threw three picks. There was fumbles galore. They lost four of them. They fumbled four times and lost all four. Plus Roethlisberger's three interceptions. It was not a beautiful day for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a beautiful day for the Baltimore Ravens.
It was a beautiful day for the Baltimore Ravens, and I think it was a bit of a coming out party, Stephen, for Ray Rice.
How about that Ray Rice?
107 yards. My gosh. I mean, nobody runs for 100 yards on the Steelers either. That's only happened three times many years. Ray Rice did no problem. And
he had another 42 in the air and a touchdown catch from Flacco for a touchdown.
So here's what I think of Ray Rice. I think that, honestly, he has come into his own, and this is no longer a lot of these older guys on defense, your Ed Reeds and guys like that are so revered and so loved, Ray Lewis. This team used to belong to them. And I think we saw a slight transition where they're still going to have a lot to say, but I think this is Ray Rice's team now. In his fourth year, he is coming into his own, and he has clearly seized the opportunity that was in front of him. And when you go and stick it to the Pittsburgh Steelers on the ground, you are saying, look, I am here. I'm the real deal. I'm the reason that I should have been drafted first in all fantasy leagues, regardless of formats.
Yeah, they stuck it.
And I put him on the bench once, Stephen.
You did?
I
you sat Ray Rice?
I sat your number one pick, which is the dumbest thing you can do in fantasy football. It was against the Steelers.
Sometimes I feel that my buddy doesn't listen to his buddy.
I don't.
I just...
Ultimately, at the end of the day, Steven, you have to live with yourself, right?
You do. And can you live with yourself?
No, I can't. But at the end of the day...
I'll tell you how good I was with Ray Rice. I started this new... weekly fantasy football, where you draft a new team every week.
You mean the one that's for the truly demented and sick?
Yes, that one.
Ah, that one, yes. I saw an ad for it.
I can't even tell you how much money I won because I paired up Ray
Rice. Speaking
of
money.
It is week one, isn't it?
It is Tuesday. Still take the field tonight. Actually, it's Monday.
Could. That's right.
He could sign a day thing with the Broncos or the Raiders.
He could.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's just see if that happens.
Okay, but I want my money tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You're still not giving me a mulligan. I don't just have to give you the 75. I got to give you the $150.
$150. So tell me, how much money did you make playing fantasy football this weekend?
No mulligan. Well, it's all going to you.
Thank you. So I found this new format for Steven to play that makes him make his losing to me better.
It does. But anyways, I paired up Ray Rice with Ben Tate.
Uh-huh.
And they both very nice days.
Ben Tate was
then
awesome.
At the wide receiver position, I had Megatron, who was a monster.
Wait, I've got to, excuse me.
Yes.
Megatron.
Probably the only player on my team that didn't do anything for me was Vincent Jackson.
He didn't do jack.
No, he did not.
He got 4 points in most formats, I think. It was ridiculous.
Three. It was ugly. But anyways, back to this game. The Pittsburgh Steelers need to figure out what happened. And I'll tell you, I think what happened, they got away from their, we're going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and beat, and then every once in a while ask Ben Roethlisberger to make some miraculous plays. It just seemed like every time I looked over, Ben Roethlisberger was throwing the ball and getting hit and getting smacked and getting thrown a pick. I mean, he had no time, and it was probably my worst opening weekend as far as making picks.
Prognostication?
As far as picking overs, it was great because I took the over in this game.
Yeah.
Because the over and under was 33.5.
36.5.
I got it at 33.5.
Well, you're a lucky dude.
And I was like, are you kidding me? That's going to go over. And you know what? The Ravens
covered
by
themselves. That's when he blew the over-under, when one team covers all by themselves.
I was like, I'm golden, baby.
Okay, we're moving on because of the time, Steven.
Yes, I know.
The Atlanta Falcons go to Chicago to show the Bears we are the team of the NFC.
Another game.
We are the team. We were 13-3 last year. Do not forget, we were just a game away from the Super Bowl. And you've got Jay Cutler, and he's a joke. He's a farce. And the Bears said, excuse me?
Chicago Bears, bear down.
Steven said, bear down.
I did.
You have to.
They were amazing.
They were really good.
Brian Urlacher and that defense said, Matty who? I got your ice right here.
I got your ice right here.
That's exactly
what they
said.
You're
going
to want to put some of that on your shoulder and on your knee.
They smacked him around for the first time since week one of 2010. The Atlanta Falcons offense and Matty Rice could not find the end zone, Jeff.
Matty Ice.
What did I say?
Rice. Because we just got to talk about Ray Rice.
Well, yeah, he needs to put some rice on his shoulder or something. Anyways, Brian Urlacher's interception of – he completely laid out to catch
it. Yes, he did.
Then Matty Ice tries to evade the rush.
That's not gonna happen.
A Calvin Johnson, Jeff, where he put the ball down on the ground to try and spin.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you do that?
Well, you know –
you leave the ball on the ground.
You know, balls aren't – actually meant as support objects.
It's like, bro, you got to go back and watch that Calvin Johnson, but that's exactly what happened
that's
to Calvin Johnson.
That's how he put it on the ground and ended up with
not being a touchdown
and losing the game.
Well, you know what happened? He put it on the ground and gets scooped up by Brian Urlacher. He runs in for the touchdown, and the Bears, 30-12, they look fantastic. Bears fans, I know I've been pretty hard on your team. Man, they made me a believer.
It's only because of Jay Cutler, though. Know that.
Yeah,
we
probably
really like the Bears in general.
You know what? The Bears got to show me something this week. They go to New Orleans.
Oh,
they're playing
gosh.
The Saints.
That's the game of the week, if you ask me.
That's a great game.
Now, Steven, I got this to
– I'm a little amped up.
How'd you feel about Roy Williams catching a ball?
He caught two.
How weird is that? Former Cowboy. Former Detroit Lions, first round draft pick,
Man,
Roy
that
Williams.
Devin Hester touchdown, dog.
Yeah.
He took a little screen dump off pass and just took it to the house. That was fantastic. Actually, Roy Williams caught four passes. So
5 sacks on the day.
Oh, man.
Julius Peppers and Henry Melton were just monsters. And I must say, this looks like a complete team, Steven.
But Jeffrey.
It really does.
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
to all the Atlanta Falcons fans out there and to all the Chicago Bears fans out there, you guys got to calm down. Even keel. Okay?
It's a long season.
Don't get too high because of this win, and don't get too low because of this loss. The Atlanta
Falcons
going to be.
It's a dash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a marathon.
Just relax. There's still 15 games to play. Okay? The Atlanta Falcons are not going to crumble and go away, and the Chicago Bears aren't going to go 16 now.
No.
All right? So calm down. But props,
the Bills are probably going to go
for this week. Props for this week. You know what? And here's the thing. This last thing I'll say. This is the last thing I'll say about
me.
I know. This is the last thing I'll say about this game. Mm-hmm. Everything was going good. You know, everything was looking nice, and then Jay Cutler does a Jay Cutler, and he throws that pick right into the hands of the big Atlanta defender, and he runs it down for a touchdown, and you know, could have sparked the Falcons to get back into this game. It's like, Jay, come on, dog. You can't make that mistake when you're winning by that much.
Do you think he learns from this, or do you think he changes his way?
He better. Because Mike Marks is like, hey, homie, don't play that.
Homie, don't play that.
Yeah, that's right. I can actually see Mike Marks going up to Jay Cutler and saying, homie, don't play that.
Homie the Clown. Friends, I point you to In Living Color. There's that network that's all black.
Oh, you guys don't know.
Whatever the network is, it's all black.
BET.
They keep changing the name.
It's not BET
anymore. It's like Colors Now or something.
No, it isn't.
I swear to you, on HD, on the HD channels, it's not BET.
All right.
And anyways, they show In Living Color. Make a point to find it and find Homie the Clown. Look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, look up
Laugh
Homie the Clown on YouTube. He is funny. And it would be funny
up
to see
Ugly Wanda.
Mike Marks. That's what we should do. We should see if we get Mike Marks to go up to Jay Cutler and say, homie, don't play that, and record it.
Jay will not. He's not old enough to get that joke, Steven. We forget how much older we are than a lot of these guys.
I guess that's right. Anyways, okay, 30-12, the final there. Chicago Bears looking hot. Atlanta Falcons, not so much.
Speaking of teams not looking hot, Steven's Cleveland Browns lost the battle for Ohio. And Steven just put down his headset and walked out of the room. I hope he's going to get some water or something. He left me to do this show by myself. He's gone over to the refrigerator and he's pulling out a beer, but he doesn't drink beer. That's what's really weird about this. Anyways, in the battle for Ohio, the Cleveland Browns laid a big old stinky deuce on the field. Colt McCoy looked all right, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, but they just could not take on in any way this Cincinnati Bengals team, even having their quarterback go down. Oh, welcome back, Steven. Bruce Gradkowski.
You guys can't let – look, after I build you up, you can't let Bruce Gradkowski do that to you, man.
Andy Dalton goes down, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, really? Now this team that was supposed to win 2 games, according to Jeff, they may not win 2 games.
Okay.
They got to win.
They did. 27-17. Look, the Browns got a little full of themselves.
Apparently.
They took a 14-13 – halftime lead. They jumped out to 17-14, 17-13. It was looking good. 17-13, we're looking good. And they forgot to finish.
Apparently,
it's like in the fourth quarter, they forgot to finish. Now, I know they're a young team.
This is going to happen to young teams. Young teams generally forget how to finish.
But you know what? They got to learn how to finish. Especially if they want Steve Miranda on their back.
They do.
Cheering for them.
They really do.
They better learn how to finish. I might leave after week two. And you know what? They got a tough week two matchup. So
they do. Ben Watson wants you. Evan Moore wants you.
Watson looked great.
I know. They want you, Steven.
But you know what, Jeffrey? What I saw in this game, and actually a lot in the Rams game, which we'll get to in a minute, and a lot throughout the entire weekend of football, a lot of drop passes. Was it just me? Or was there a lot of drop passes?
What we saw, Steven, was I felt like some ugly football.
There was some
missed tackles, drop passes. Wow.
What was the drop passes?
There was players dropping passes on simple routes.
There was a lot
of lack of communication, Steven. What I'm thinking of specifically is some of the later games where the receiver's cutting to the left and the quarterback throws to the right.
Yeah.
There's just communication breakdowns and they don't seem to know the playbook. They seem like they've missed some time. Doesn't it seem that way?
Just a little.
Just a little bit of time that they've missed.
Just a little bit of time.
Exactly.
I'm actually shocked at how the Cleveland Browns played, especially late in this game, allowing that long touchdown pass to A.J. Green there near the end of the game, which basically gave the Bengals their go-ahead lead. But Cleveland showed they've got a little bit. They just don't have enough. Final score there, 27-17, Bengals over the Browns. Now we head to the nightmare that was for the Indianapolis Colts.
Doggy.
The Houston Texans basically said, we know you were without your guy. Let us just pound 34 points on you, and then we won't take it easy. And that's what they did.
Yeah,
they
well, did.
It was 34-0 going into like the last 5 minutes of the game.
There is no reason to go up to a wounded dog and kick it in the ribs.
Kick it!
No,
this dog
has
bit you and dominated you
this
and scratched you. And they got, I mean, you got marks on your arm from all the bites that this dog has given you year in and year out for the last 7 years, man. You go up there and you smack it.
I disagree in this case.
Really?
If this team was coached by a Harbaugh, I think you might be right about what they do.
But because of Kubiak?
Team is coached by a nicer person.
You know what? All I know is that
did Indy ever run the score up on them? No, they played tough games. They lost.
Ever since I've come into the league, this team has dominated me. They have beat me to a pulp. Okay, yeah, there were some close games, but for the most part, this team just rawr and rawr, and they made me look silly. And now I've got them down 34-0, and I'm going to cruise control?
Cruise control.
Man, I would have put a 50-burger on there and said, you know what? We don't care that you don't got no payment.
That was what Baltimore was doing against
Pittsburgh.
And when we're
going to play you again, we're going to put 50-burger on you again.
Steven, that is not – okay, they've got Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator. They've got Gary Kubiak as a head coach. This is a calm, cool, and collected organization.
I understand, but
they
you
do
gotta...
not have the ferocity of, aside from Mario Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody on this team that's looking to kill somebody.
You
Brian Cushy, maybe try to kill somebody.
They need to get me on their sideline. I've guaranteed this team to go to the playoffs, Jeffrey.
Look.
Okay.
You're spread a little thin here. You're trying to do our show. You're on the Cleveland Browns bandwagon, and you're on the Houston Texans bandwagon. You just got to slowly roll the partner.
I only took two teams. Okay. There were only two guarantees of two teams that were going to make the playoffs.
You're just more afraid because they lack the killer instinct.
Yes. It's going to it got to them last year. They started off 2-0, and then they didn't have the killer instinct to see it through.
Yes, sir.
34-7 beat
them. I'm sending out a text right now.
Send it. Send it, because they got to go after them.
Be a jerk and go kill somebody. That's what I'm saying. Per Steven Miranda.
All I'm saying is it's 34-0 at halftime. Fine. You got to come out in the third quarter and play really hard. And if you score another 21 points, good. Then in the fourth quarter, you pull your dogs. They pull their dogs at halftime. That's what I'm saying.
It's early in the season. What'd you see with a lot of these other teams? Injuries. You saw guys that were struggling. Saw guys cramping up from hydration issues,
like
fitness issues.
I want more touchdown passes for Matt Schaub.
I think that's a fantasy football-related comment more than anything. and it certainly was for me. He was disappointing in that regard with his 20 points or whatever it was, where usually you can count on Schaub for 25 to 30.
All right. There you go.
Moving
the final
on.
There, 34-7. The Indianapolis Colts, they have some issues, but not just offensively. Not just because Peyton Manning is there. Defensively. Special teams. They gave up a punt return for a touchdown. There were a lot of weaknesses for the Indianapolis Colts. I want to give you a compliment here.
Okay.
I may have to bow down to you finally with you and your talk of the demise of the Indianapolis Colts.
Steven, I can't take any credit for prediction here when Peyton Manning is missing. And Peyton Manning is the most unique NFL player that we've ever seen.
But I guarantee you one thing. Even with Peyton Manning on the field, they do not win that game.
I don't know that they do, but again, that's not my point. My point was that the further you get from a great coach, a la Tony Dungy,
right,
the further from greatness you fall, and it just takes time, and that's what they're seeing. But this is a whole other thing, so we can't predict this. The Tennessee Titans now go on down to Jacksonville and play a team that's lost its starting quarterback 5 days ago to injury.
No.
To being fired.
Yeah.
To being fired. After being introduced to the Chamber of Commerce lunch as the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, David Garrard found himself receiving a pink slip. Bring us your playbook, son, and don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out.
They still manage a 16-14 win. How did they get the 16 points, Jeffrey? They scored a touchdown early. Oompa Loompa. Little Maurice Jones-Drew still shows he's
Love
got
it.
Nice little touchdown run.
94 yards.
Scored a field goal in the second. Scored a field goal in the third. Scored a field goal in the fourth. That's all it took to beat the Tennessee Titans, man.
And look, the fact is, it looked like Matt Schaub, especially in the first half. I was dialed in on this game big time
you
in the
mean
first
Hasselbeck,
half.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck.
There's a lot of Matts, dog. I'm gonna let it slide.
Appreciate
there's, it. Hasselbeck, there's
a lot of Matts. But when I would watch, it seemed like Hasselbeck never got to be on the field for more than a few plays to develop any sort of rhythm, Steven. I don't
a lot
know
of
what
three and outs.
I want to go to the drive chart here
go
and
to
take
it.
A look.
I think you're gonna see a lot of three and outs.
What I'm surprised with. Oh, my gosh. These were very short. Dang.
These were very short.
Well, seriously, Tennessee had two really long drives in the entire game. One play went for 80 yards.
That was the Kenny Britt one. That was sweet. And, by the way, you should play Kenny Britt in fantasy football.
Absolutely. But then they had a 12-play drive, and that was it. They had many. I'm counting the three. Okay, you count, and I'm going to do the three
okay.
and out. One, two. I guess I'm counting. Three, four, five, six, seven. Seven three and outs. And they had
seven.
How many first downs? They had like three, four first downs.
Chris Johnson, you should give back all the money the Tennessee Titans gave you.
Just put it in an escrow account, Steven, and say, I'm going to earn this money back. You can't have it,
that was
but I will earn it.
2.7 average per carry.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And you held out?
It was very pedestrian, to say the least. Tennessee, 13 first downs in the game. Jacksonville, 20 first downs. And on rushing on the ground, Tennessee, one first down. That is just really, really sad. And when you got Chris Johnson on your team and you are not making third downs on the ground, you're not going to win. It's really sad. You're not putting yourself basically in manageable third down situations where you would actually run the ball. You're finding yourself third and eight, third and nine, third and seven. And you're not going to hand the ball off then. When you're third and two is when you're going to do that and when your percentage
goes
for the
roof. Well, the Jags said, hey, they basically were like, we're going to be all right. We're not the greatest team in the world, but you know
we're
what?
We're better than you.
And I'm actually now hitting myself for making that change late. And
you changed over on that?
I did. I was really on Jacksonville.
Wow, I didn't know that. I was with Tennessee the whole time, and they let me down.
And by the way,
they moved all the way to the bottom tier of my power rankings. They're not at the very bottom. They're still the Bengals, Colts, Chiefs, and Seahawks
power
under
rankings
them.
Released on what day do you release
them? Well, I gotta wait for tonight's games,
but on
Tuesday.
Absolutely.
They'll be out on Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yes. Jeff's power rankings up on Tuesday.
Can I ask that you release them on Wednesday?
Sure.
Okay.
They're only power rankings.
Yes.
As you say, they're stupid and meaningless. I spend time on them, but they're stupid and meaningless.
Okay.
What's cool about my power rankings is I've got them in Microsoft Word. And they're all in the outline view, so I could just drag them up and down.
Yes, wherever you want
them. And they're hyperlinked to the team page.
Where?
So I can click
which
on
team page?
Their own team page. So if I want to look at anything about, I got this team and this team, which one should be higher? Click right on them. They're hyperlinked. Bang. I go right to the team page, do a little research,
very
make sure that my power rankings will be the penultimate of
the
all power rankings.
Penultimate?
Yes.
Okay, that's a
that's
new one
beyond the ultimate. I'm sorry, I took Greek. I didn't mean to.
The Kansas City Chiefs host the Buffalo Bills, and oh my gosh, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I have a sad story to tell you.
It's called the Kansas City Chiefs.
It may hurt your feelings a bit.
Yeah.
Last night when I walked in my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of Buffalo Bills. Nice and clean, shave every day, and
the Kansas City Chiefs stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. You allow 41
You know what they stepped in,
Steven? What?
You know, have you ever seen what a buffalo leaves behind?
A patty? A buffalo patty?
A cow patty left by a buffalo. Now, on this morning's 5-minute football fix, I liken them to the Chicago Bulls.
Yes.
The Bills are like
they
the Bulls.
Scoring.
They just are, they're scoring machines. Ryan Fitzpatrick with his superhuman oh, gosh, I wanted this to come out. G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip and a cannon for an arm. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mr. Harvard with the $6 million man arm.
Fitzpatrick threw 4 touchdown passes, man.
Ryan freaking Fitzpatrick.
You can't even say his name, but he threw 4 of them.
He was good, and Kansas City was god awful.
I mean, Fred Jackson ran in for a touchdown.
Talk about reading your own press, Steven.
I mean, CJ Spiller, sorry.
They're like, they read their press. We won the AFC West. Yeah, what about it?
Yeah.
What about it? Yeah, we're that good. Yeah,
they
we're playing at home.
Look.
Yeah. People don't come into our house and lose.
I can't even say they look pedestrian because they pedestrians at least move forward.
Yeah, they do move.
Yeah.
Maybe slowly, but they move. These guys look like roadkill. They look like something that's been run over by a 16-wheeler. Okay? Little Sparky jumped out of the backseat of the car, got smacked by a 16-wheeler.
Where was all this everybody who was like, oh, Jamal Charles, he's the hottest thing since sliced bread?
I don't know.
Where was he?
Got 2 of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league, running backs in the league, Steven, on this team. Matt Castle, you know, I've got one big question for you, Steven. And unfortunately, I've got to put you on the hot seat to do this. Now, I don't want to do this.
I'm on the hot seat.
But, if I can't find the button, then I'll have to. We have to fly, in fact. We have to go really fast.
Yes.
So if I can't find the hot seat button, then I can't put you
on the hot seat.
Okay, and I'm doing it without the button. So here it is. No, unfortunately, I found it. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the hot seat.
All right. Hot seat.
What happened to Matt Castle?
Okay.
And let's talk about their quarterback situation, especially with regard to coaching.
I don't want to say this because then I'm going to get a lot of emails from New England Patriots fans. But Matt Castle, much like Tom Brady, and, you know, I'm not saying that – slow your roll. Don't drop your iPad. I'm not saying Matt Castle is Tom Brady, okay? But – whoa, what was that?
Drop my iPad, sorry.
Why you do that?
It happened. Sorry.
Okay, look. So, Jeffrey, Matt Castle was successful in the New England Patriots offense because that offense, built by Belichick, the way he's got it set up, is very nice to quarterbacks.
It's perfect.
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's perfect.
It's nearly perfect.
But that offense, it's tailored to its quarterbacks. And that's why it doesn't matter what quarterback they go in there. The year Tom Brady went down, Matt Castle comes in and wins 11 games. And everybody's like, man, that guy is great. What is he doing being a backup?
He signs a big fat contract,
you know,
and
what?
He struggled. But, Steven.
He's not that great. And I don't know how Tom Brady would do in any other system. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure how he is very successful with the New
England. He'd be very good. He wouldn't be as good. But I think he'd be very good.
But,
Steven, we're talking about Tom freaking Brady.
Tom Brady is a good quarterback.
And he makes all the throws. And he steps into the pocket better than anyone I know.
I think it's that system.
That system is fantastic. The reason I call it perfect, Steven, is because I think most quarterbacks will be successful. And I agree with you.
As I learn more about Bill Belichick, I'm still not calling him a genius, but the dude is pretty good.
I am.
And I learned more about him.
But sometimes geniuses cheat.
And the more I learn about him, the more I'm like, it's his system.
It's a great system.
And you can bring quarterbacks who never started in college and put them into that system, and they're going to be pretty good. So there you go.
Okay, I've got this to say.
Yeah.
I am really questioning the departure of Charlie Weiss.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I'm just
saying.
See,
everyone was loving on Jim Zorn coming in as a quarterback coach and his special relationship with Matt Castle. That this is really going to be a turning point, and I thought Matt Castle was pretty good and when Charlie Weiss was there as his little mentor. And now that Charlie's gone on, I think that he's taken a step backwards. Maybe it's familiarity, and maybe Zorn has got some kind of bad juju about him because he certainly was when he was with Washington.
I like the bad juju. No, I'm just kidding.
Like Zorn, or he really, like the bad juju?
I don't think Matt Castle is that great of a quarterback.
I think he's a good
we've
quarterback.
We've stayed too much here on this game. But
Philadelphia at St. Louis, dude, this was the upset of the week.
Buffalo Bills.
We're talking about you, and we're loving on you. So just love that and get used to it.
For one more week, because next week – you know what? No, next week they got Raiders. I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills again.
Oh, yeah, no, it's in Buffalo, too.
Buffalo.
No, trust that homecoming is going to be quite warm. And frankly, folks – if you're anywhere near upstate New York, get your butt to that game and represent.
It will be good. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles travel to St. Louis to face the Rams, and Jeffrey went with the upset, took the Rams, and it was looking pretty good, especially when Steven Jackson busted down the middle of the Eagles' defense for a very long touchdown run, and it was like, oh, man, Rams came to play.
That's
Steven Jackson busted a 47-yarder.
They did exactly what I asked them to do.
And then
blitz the hell out of Vic and run Steven Jackson
to death.
And then
Steven Jackson got hurt.
And then you start getting defenders hurt. And then you see what happens is Bradford gets hurt. And it's like, I don't know what would have happened had people stayed healthy.
Yeah.
But it was working.
But when you got to bring in A.J. Feely. Feely.
Nothing more than Feely. Really?
That's not good.
And so, I don't know, Steven. I was very disappointed. That's all there is to say. The Dream Team looked sharp at points.
They looked sharper at points.
Yes.
Than they had been.
And the defense certainly looked opportunistic.
There were also some points, though, where it's like, man, Mike Vick's going to get killed.
Oh, yeah.
He ran for 98 yards in this game.
Yeah.
And it's
again,
like,
one of the few people that not get over 100 that we might have expected to.
It's like I'm not. You know what? I want to watch Philadelphia Atlanta. Can we go to Atlanta?
We're going to Atlanta this year, but not for a couple more weeks. We're going to see them play the Packers.
Oh, that's going to be good.
But tell me about this weekend? No.
Sunday night football?
You're going to be in San Francisco watching the Cowboys.
Oh, Cowboys-Niners. That's going to be good.
Yeah,
that's
it will be.
But it's not going to be as good as Mike Vick coming back to Atlanta.
I know, but we can only make so many trips.
I know. Haven't anybody invented like a transporter yet?
James!
Invent the transporter so I can be in two places at once.
We got about 15 minutes. Finish it.
No, thanks.
No, that's not a question. It's an order.
It's an order. It's a request.
It's a Scotty
you
I need
are
it now.
A worker. Work. Worky work, busy bee.
Reconfigure the rear deflector dish. That's okay. What they do in Star Trek. It fixes everything.
31-13, Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, Vick only passed for like 180 yards. He did have the two touchdown passes, although one was the little, you know, dump off pass that he threw to Sean McCoy. Sean McCoy proving people like, hey, I can play some football. Sean McCoy had over 122 yards rushing.
Shady.
He broke a 49-yarder for a touchdown there late in the game. Very, very nice running by Shady. 31-13, the final there. We go to Detroit where Steven says, thank you, Lions.
We actually don't go to Detroit. We go to Western Florida.
Well, it's weird because mine says from Philly, we go from St. Louis, we go to Tampa Bay.
That's in Western Florida.
Where did I say we were going?
He said we were going to Detroit.
Oh, Detroit, Tampa Bay. How about that? 27-20, the Lions. And, Jeffrey, I want to make it very clear that me changing over to the Lions.
Yeah, why don't I take a break
it
here?
Come back. Come back, dog. No, Jeff is now. Look, it had nothing to do with you picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man.
Right here.
It had nothing to do with Jeff taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just felt that the Lions were going to come out and be a little bit more hungrier in this game. Yeah, we know Tampa Bay is youngry, but that's the thing. The Lions are just plain old hungry. They were just beast looking for something to munch on. They took it to Detroit. Look, Tampa Bay came out strong, and they took an early lead 10-6 after the first quarter. We're like, oh, man, but you know what? Matt Stafford, that kid. Just like I told people in fantasy football, you want that kid, Matt Stafford. He's going to be great. Over 300 yards passing, three touchdowns. The Lions are impressing me, and I may have to start. I may have to jump on that bandwagon too. How many? Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How many bandwagons am I allowed to be on?
I would say no more than two. One in the AFC and one in the NFC.
Well,
and
but see,
you want to have 35, and there's only 32 teams.
No, you know, okay, my permanent bandwagon, I'm on the Cowboys bandwagon. Everybody knows that, right? So that's a permanent one.
Right.
So after having that permanent one, how many more can I have?
That'd be one other in the AFC.
So just one on the AFC?
And one in the NFC. And you can actually own jerseys for both.
How about one more in the NFC besides the Cowboys? One more in the NFC.
Because they're permanent.
Yeah, they're permanent. That
and you
was
have no control over that. You're born into that.
That's right. I was born into it.
You don't have any say over the
bandwagon. I'm hooked to it.
Hoodwinked.
I'm hooked on it. So I want one more in the NFC, and I want two in the AFC.
Okay, I'm going to give you a very short Jeopardy to pick them. That's it.
Ready? Okay, short. Houston Texans. Cleveland Browns. Detroit Lions.
Wow.
I like the Lions and Matt Stafford. They just make me feel good.
Wow.
There it is.
That's amazing.
Those are my four bandwagons this year. I will not get on another one. Don't even ask. But I'm on them.
Okay.
Browns, Texans, Lions, and then, of course, the Cowboys.
Okay, Steven, I want a poll on the website. Sorry.
What's the poll? I'll put it up.
Maximum number of bandwagons that someone could be on.
Okay, that goes on today. Anyways, the final score, 27-20. I do want to say this about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jeff. They didn't quit. They kept coming and coming and coming and coming, and they even scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter to make it 27-20, and they gave themselves a chance to be in that game. So good for Raheem Morris and his team that they didn't just quit after the Lions roared out to that big lead.
The weather was miserable.
It was miserable in a lot of games.
Yeah, but when you get to Western Florida, Steven, the humidity and the heat can get to you, and there was a lot of cramping up, same stuff we were talking about.
Yeah.
What's up next, babe?
Next, we have the Arizona Cardinals and
Cam
Newton time.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Man, everybody
the
was
icon.
Like, do we need a sound effect
we need
for
this.
Cam Newton?
Kick my butt. I like to fall. Kick my butt. I like to fall. I like to move it. Kick my butt. I like to fall.
Move
is
it.
Is that not the sound effect of an entertainer and an icon, Steven?
I think that does say Cam Newton all over it.
It does.
Oh, gosh. You know what? Cam Newton had his team primed for victory. 21-14 lead into the fourth quarter when basically Carolina collapsed and allowed Arizona to score 14 unanswered points. And even late in the game, the icon drove his team down the field and got him to within inches of tying that game up, man.
Yes.
That icon is something else.
He is something else. And for all the haters.
This is me eating crow. Give it to me. For all the haters, what? Give it to me. Yeah, you give it to me one more time. 422 yards passing.
An NFL rookie record, and he becomes one of only five players in our lifetime to ever throw for more than 400 yards on opening day.
He had another, I don't know how many yards rushing.
The guy was ridiculous.
He scored a touchdown on the ground, a quarterback sneak, much to the chagrin of D'Angelo Williams owners.
Yeah.
I was in a room with a couple of them. They were like, oh, come on!
That's pretty good.
they were all upset that, you know, Cam Newton would keep it himself and not give it to D'Angelo Williams. He had another 18 yards rushing, touchdown on the ground, two TDs. He did have that one pick, but he got his team all the way down, and on 4th-and-9, he completes a 7.5-yard pass to just fall short from getting the chance to score a touchdown and tie that game.
It was a pretty dramatic game, and I must say, for the fans there in Arizona, you guys won a game. Congratulations. You got to see a show. But you should be a little worried about your football team.
You should be worried about your defense because they gave up yards in chunks, dog. I'm talking about the big old nasty chunks. They were huge.
To me, my fear, Steven, is that we are going to be looking at 7-9 winning this
you know what?
Again.
After
Did
watching
that not occur
Seattle,
to you with the Rams injuries,
and watching Seattle and San Francisco, 7-9 could very well win this division again. And I think if it happens again, the NFL needs to take a big, strong, hard look and say, you know what? You got to have at least a 500 record or better to get into the playoffs.
Well, my thing is this, Steve. Minimally, you never get a host a game. You do not get rewarded for mediocrity.
Yeah.
You get rewarded for winning your division by getting a ticket to the dance, but you know what? You go stag to the dance, friends. You don't get to bring a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I may be with you on that one, but we'll see what happens. 28-21, the final there. Arizona over a fantastic Cam Newton.
Congratulations,
Cam. And the Carolina
Cam.
Panthers. All right, the San Diego Chargers host the Minnesota Vikings.
What happened on the kickoff?
Didn't this game start, and you're just like, here we go again.
Oh, absolutely, Steven.
Same old San Diego Chargers.
It was being shown locally into the L.A. market and to the San Diego market, and it was, holy crap. I actually put on Facebook, what happened to the new offensive, the new special teams coach? Looks like the same old special teams.
Yep.
And it was just sick. I was sick to my stomach, Steven. I'm like, I have this memory of 18 months ago being with Philip Rivers and chatting with him. And we were just one-on-one, Steven. And he is such a nice kid. And he's so sincere. We know we need to get off to a fast start. Yeah. We know that. And we can't keep doing this to ourselves. And that was 18 months ago. They did it last year, and it looked like here we go again.
Yeah. Jeffrey just posted, Chargers' new special teams coach, same old result. Now, someone did make a good point that maybe it's not the coaches.
Maybe it's the players.
But the players. And still, you can't allow opening kickoff.
Not at home.
On opening weekend at home to Percy Harvin
you're
to take it to
the house.
You're
telling your fans, you're telling your quarterback, it's going to be the same old all season long.
Yeah.
Same old as it's been last year, the year before, year before that.
Fortunately, somehow, the San Diego Chargers willed a game.
Somehow.
Thanks to the little feet of Mike Tolbert.
Mike Tolbert.
Dude had
Ryan Matthews looked pretty good too, but Tolbert looked better.
Tolbert, 3 touchdowns, 2 of them receiving, 1 on the ground. He took over. What?
There he goes again.
You know what? And the scary thing is that he got hurt at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He comes limping off. Fortunately, the San Diego Chargers have said that he is okay. He should be good for next week.
Your kicker's dead, but your running back might be okay.
24-17. Can I just say something about the Minnesota Vikings, Jeff?
I guess. We got 4 minutes
we
to
got,
cover
we
3
got,
games.
I
Go
know,
ahead.
But here, I'm going to say this because, look, you've got Adrian Peterson. Dude is the best running back in the league. You got lightning-fast Percy Harvin. You got Vicente Shanco at tight end. Do something with your offense, man. I mean, I don't know what Leslie Frazier's thinking in Minnesota, but they just look vanilla. They look plain. They put some sprinkles on it or something. I don't know. They got to do something because with that much talent, you got to be able to come up with something a little bit more creative on the offensive side of the ball.
You know what? You're right.
I mean, they just look
plain. That's all
there's
to it, Steve. The 49ers offense looked boring.
Yes.
It looked like a undergraduate 101 level class introduction, and so did Minnesota. And you've got Donovan McNabb, he's still slinging it with a lot of velocity.
I couldn't believe it. But anyways, the punter finally came out for San Diego to kick some field goals.
I think Steven's trying to run out of time so we don't get to the Dallas game at last. That's what I think.
Yeah, right. Well, then let's move on. The San Francisco 49ers host the Seattle Seahawks. And now
this game
don't let the score deceive you, okay?
Yes.
I know the final score is San Francisco 33, Seattle 17. Wasn't that close.
It wasn't even that close. It was the outcome was in question until the last 2 minutes
of
the game.
I'm saying it wasn't that close. It wasn't that much of a blowout is what I'm saying. It was close.
Yes, I know. Knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Monitor that one. It was only 1 of 4 games in the afternoon, and it was easy to monitor, and it was dull. Red zone channel flipped over there maybe 6 times because there was nothing going on. But because the game went long, It was the last game on.
The last game
and
on.
And so we got to see all the fireworks come out of Teddy Ginn Jr. in Miami going, where was this when we drafted you in the first round?
Ted Ginn Jr., man, I tell you, is the first 49er in the history of the Niners to return a kickoff and a punt, four touchdowns in the same day.
And he did it within a span of about a minute and a half. That makes it even really that scarier. Bad.
Pretty amazing there for the Niners to get their win, 33-17. Maybe that should have been our lock of the week.
These teams are bad.
I told you they would cover that 5.5.
And we knew that San Francisco was going to win. New York Giants at Washington Redskins. Very emotional day there in the D.C. area with the September 11th remembrances.
Yes.
And that's our next two games. And the Giants, as I said, too decimated by injuries. And everybody and their brother was seemingly taking the Giants in this game, and I couldn't understand why. This is not hatred of Eli Manning, although I'm not crazy about him. It was just common sense. How much can one team endure before they collapse under the weight?
Yeah, it well,
Rex Grossman looked good.
Eli, they didn't do much. They didn't do much on offense. I mean, you can't turn over the ball that much. Their run game, which was supposed to be their big thing.
Bread and butter.
44 yards from Ahmad Bradshaw, 29 yards from Brandon Jacobs. That's not going to get it done. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you can't go into the first week of the season and have eight starters missing from your lineup. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are.
Yep.
You can be the best team in the whole world. You got eight starters missing from your lineup. For having eight starters missing from their lineup, Jeffrey, they look pretty good.
How about Eli's little running touchdown?
Well,
because, Steve, when we go out and make our projections for fantasy football,
yes,
one of them is, you know, rushing attempts for quarterbacks and things like that. And I put him down for four rushing attempts this year and
for the entire
8 yards.
Season?
Yeah. Because he just, look, he's not a rushing quarterback.
He is not.
That's not his game. So when he calls his own number and goes in on a keeper, that was pretty impressive. 2 yard touchdown score in the first quarter, and that put them up 7-0.
Sexy Rexy throwing for over 300 yards.
That's right.
Two touchdowns. And I still think the Redskins need to get their running game going a little bit. I'm not sure.
Yeah, running Hightower 25 times for 72 yards.
I'm not sure Rex is going to be able to throw it on some other defenses. I mean, obviously the Giants were just depleted.
I want to know, Steven, and we don't have time to figure it out, but how many guys got 25 carries yesterday?
Oh, well,
seriously, not many. And Tim Hightower got it and didn't break the century mark.
Yeah, no.
He got 72 yards.
2.9 average was not very good.
And a long of 22 yards. Not impressive at all. These are going to be bottom feeders in the NFC East. That's all there is to it. The Redskins, they're going to be battling it out for the bottom. And I still think they're good teams fundamentally when they get healthier, for the Giants especially. But it's tough.
Oh, look, we're over 60 minutes.
I know, it happens.
All right, we'll come back to you on Wednesday.
Dallas Cowboys go to the New Meadowlands and face the New York Jets.
Yeah.
And the people on Sky kept calling the New Meadowlands Stadium MetLife Stadium.
It is MetLife.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. They kept calling it that.
It's now the MetLife.
I like New Meadowlands.
They got a sponsor.
They got a sponsor. Yes. Well, bully for them. It'll help pay for the stadium.
You didn't see the big old green MetLife?
I saw it. I just figured that it was signage.
No.
There's a lot of advertising up in there. There's a FedEx up in there. It's not FedEx Field. Yeah. That's another stadium. Yeah. Anyways, the Cowboys took an old-fashioned butt-whooping at the end of this game against the Jets. It really was one of the best games. Look, they blew up. They self-destructed in the final quarter of the game where they led by 17 points, 14 points.
I don't think that gives them a butt-whooping. They led the entire game.
They led the Jets took the lead, if I'm not mistaken, with 4.5 minutes left in the game,
no,
if
they
that.
Took
it was
the
3 minutes?
With 38 seconds.
Was that it?
Yes.
I knew there's a three.
There were 38 seconds left when Nick Folk kicked his 50-yarder to take the lead.
That was the first lead of the game.
Yes. The Cowboys
never
trailed.
You got to realize, I was traumatized, Steven.
I know. I'm sure
Jordan
you were.
Was
you
screaming, and I have a son who's, because of you, a Cowboys homer, and he's now old enough to break things in the house. Okay.
Did he break stuff?
No, but I thought he would. He was screaming and yelling, and the Jason Witten wasn't a blocky. He wasn't interfering. Yes, he was.
No,
he set
he
a pick out of
route.
The NBA. He did. There's one camera angle where you see he clearly
rubbing
blocked
his
the route.
Racing, dude. Okay, rubbing his racing. That's all
rubbing
he did.
Rubbing his racing?
Rubbing his racing. Do you remember that?
Nope, but we're out of time.
Rubbing his racing. So
but we did get in that the Cowboys lost.
24-27.
Good for the Jets.
The Jets, they came back.
They pulled a rabbit out of a hat.
To everybody, to all the Romo's haters who want to go and blame this game on Romo, you can do that if you want. Watch the football game again. That's all I have to say. If you woke up this morning and you're like, Romo threw an interception at the end of the game and the Jets won, well, if that's all you know, go fine.
Oh, by the way, he threw it directly to Darrell Revis.
Yes, that's true.
It was a bad decision.
But a lot of other things happened before that.
Yeah, it was a horrible decision.
There's only one reason that you were in a game that nobody picked you to win.
Yeah. When you go into New York against a Jets defense that is that good.
On the 10th anniversary of September 11th, I suspect you're not
bad. Over 340 yards, and you have a quarterback rating of 108, that's pretty good.
But your quarterback rating in the fourth quarter was 33.
Yeah, well.
That's the problem.
Yeah, well, it's not his fault also that his star wide receiver was on one leg.
And they got a lot of injuries, but that's all we got.
24-27, Jets victory. Good for them. Good for the country. And the Cowboys need to get healthy in a hurry.
We'll come back at you folks again real soon with our preview show for week two. Yeah, that's right. And we'll cover the Monday night games.
This is Stephen Miranda.
And Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves. Out.